बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी। यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। विष्णुपाद परमहंस परवराजिकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्त वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परवराजिकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Text number 29. Aho anatyam mahadasya pasyata prajapateryasya characharam prajaham jahavasun yad विमतात्मजा सती मनस्विनी मानमभीक्ष्णमर्हति। अहो अनात्म्यं महदस्य पश्यता प्रजापतेर्यस्य चराचरं प्रजाः जहावसून यद विजता विमता आत्मजा सती मनस्विनी मानमभीक्ष्णमर्हति। अहो अनात्म्यं महदस्य पश्यत प्रजापतेर्यस्य चराचरं प्रजाः जहावसून यद विजमता आत्मत सति विमता आत्मजा सति मनस्विनी मानमभीक्ष्णमर्हति। Really. अहो अनात्म्यं महदस्य पश्यत प्रजापतेर्यस्य चराचरं प्रजाः जहावसून्यद्विमतात्मजा सति भीक्ष्णमर्हति। माता जी वट वट जहां वसून्य द्विमतात्मजा सती मनस्विनी मानम भिक्ष्णम अर्हति। अहो ओ अनात्म्यं नेग्लेक्ट महत ग्रेट अस्य ऑफ दक्ष पश्यता जस्सी प्रजापतेः ऑफ द प्रजापति यस्य ऑफ हुम चराचरम ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज प्रजाः ऑफ स्प्रिंग जहौ गिव अप असून हर बॉडी यत बाय हुम विमता डिसरेस्पेक्टेड आत्मजा हिज ओन डॉटर सती सती मनस्विनी वॉलंटरिली मानम रेस्पेक्ट अभीक्ष्णम रिपीटेडली अर्हति डिजर्व ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। It was astonishing that Daksha, who was Prajapati, the maintainer of all living entities, was so disrespectful to his own daughter, Sati, who was not only chaste but was also a great soul, that she gave up her body because of his neglect. The word anatmya is significant. Atmya means the life of the soul. So this word indicates that although Daksha appeared to be living, actually he was a dead body. Otherwise, how could he neglect Sati, who was his own daughter? It was the duty of Daksha to look after the maintenance of and comforts of all living entities because he was situated as Prajapati, the governor of all living entities. Therefore, how is it that he neglected his own daughter, who was the most exalted and chaste woman, a great soul, and who therefore deserved the most respectful treatment from her father? The death of Sati, because of her being neglected by Daksha, her father, was most astonishing to all the great demigods of the universe. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So we are in the fourth canto, fourth chapter, where Sati gave up her body. Manaswini, voluntarily she gave up her body. So, and Daksha, he did not attempt to even stop her. And in fact, he was the cause also. His neglect made Sati voluntarily give up her body. Prabhupada is pointing out here, Daksha is a Prajapati. A Prajapati is supposed to be the maintainer of all living entities. So, he should protect them, he should be responsible for them. He is governor of all living entity. He should take care of the comforts of all living entities. These are the duties of Daksha, but he could not even maintain or protect his own daughter. Forget protecting and maintaining, he neglected her. He neglected to the extent that even when she was about to commit suicide, he did not come forward to stop also. All this is a manifestation of his pride and egoistic tendency. Right? So, actually, Daksha, when he organized the sacrifice, he did not invite Lord Shiva and Sati, both of them. But Sati was so affectionate towards her father, and even without an invitation also, Sati was willing to attend the sacrifice of father. Even at the cost of keeping aside her husband's advice, Shiva's advice, she was willing to come to her father's sacrifice. But when she came here, she realized that what my husband suggested was appropriate. Daksha has absolutely no respect for my father or me, no welcome also. Then she mainly noticed that although I had so much affection for my father, my father had no affection for me, and my father had no respect for my husband. When a chaste wife sees that her husband is disrespected by someone, she cannot handle it. She cannot absorb that treatment. So chaste wife seeks pleasure when her husband is respected. And now in the previous verses, 26th verse, she says, Maitreya Muni says, in order to give up her body, which had been so respectfully and affectionately seated on the lap of Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by great sages and saints, Sati, due to anger towards her father, began to meditate on the fire air within her body. So Sati was made to sit on the lap of Shiva, and that is considered a great honor for a wife. For a wife to sit on the lap of a husband, and that too, a glorious husband like Shiva, so who considers her part of his body only directly. So that's like great honor. And when she was disrespected, she felt that my connection with this, I'm very fortunate to have connection with my Shiva's body like that, sitting on his lap. But my connection with Daksha's body, I'm unable to maintain that, right? So I had to give up this body. Okay. So here in this connection, in this context, I see another episode where Sati was offended, Parvati, Shiva's consort. She was offended when her husband was disrespected. Here, Daksha disrespected her husband by not offering oblations in the sacrifice. Sati was offended. She gave up her body. In the sixth canto, Chitraketu kind of, although he didn't mean to disrespect, he spoke few words that were considered disrespectful towards Lord Shiva, and Sati became furious. Okay. Here, she gave up her own body, and there she made Chitraketu change his body into a Rakshasa body, Asura body. So, I was thinking to elaborate on that pastime where Sati was offended when Shiva was not honored. So once Chitraketu was traveling in his airplane along with the Vidyadharas, Vidyadhara woman, glorifying Krishna, and Chitraketu had the track record of pleasing Lord Sankarsana and attaining his mercy within a week. And he offered heartfelt prayers, and so Chitraketu was traveling like that, and he came to a place where Lord Shiva was sitting along with his wife on his lap in the midst of assembly of great personalities. So many sages, Narada Muni was there and many other sages were there. So Chitraketu saw, and he felt that ordinary people, when they see this scene where Shiva was sitting with his wife on his lap in the midst of such great personalities, many of them are sages also. So ordinary people, when they see this, they might misunderstand Lord Shiva's exalted position. They may think that, oh, how can Shiva do like this? So then Chitraketu started giving a feedback to Lord Shiva. But that happened to be a public feedback, not a private feedback. So he publicly started speaking. Yesha loka guru saksha dharmam vakta sharirinaha aste mukhya sabhayam vai mithuni bhuya bharyayam. So Daksha disrespected Shiva, offended Shiva, and he meant to offend Shiva. But Chitraketu did not mean to offend or disrespect Shiva. Chitraketu was concerned about Shiva's exalted position. People should not misunderstand him seeing this external, apparent, contradictory behavior. Right? So he was having appreciation for Shiva and he was glorifying Shiva. He said, Esha Loka Guru Sakshat. This Lord Shiva is Loka Guru, the spiritual master, the guru of all planets, all living entities. Loka Guru Sakshat. Dharmam Vakta Sharirinaha. Dharmam Vakta means one who can speak about Dharma. He is the teacher of religion. He is such an exalted personality. Aste Mukhyaha Sabhayam Vai. And he is the main, like a president in the assembly of religious people. How can he make his wife sit on his lap in public? Right? It's something, it's quite private affair. And even ordinary people also might have such intimate exchanges with wife in private. And how can such an exalted personality like Lord Shiva do like this in public? Right? So this could be misunderstood. This may not be accepted, obvious by common people. So he said, Jatadhara Tivratapa Brahmavadi Sabhapatihi. Jatadhara means Shiva is wearing jata, that indicates the power of his austerity. Shiva is very austere. Tivratapa, extremely austere person, right? He doesn't even wear, build a house also. He doesn't dress himself very opulently. Okay. Jatadhara, Tivratapa, Brahmavadi Sabhapatihi. And he is the Sabhapati, he is the president of the assembly of so many Brahmavadis, exalted people who have knowledge of Brahman. Then, Anki Kritasya Striyam Chaste Gata Hrihi Prakrito Yatha. How could he अंकीकृत ही वॉज एम्ब्रेसिंग हिज वाइफ मेकिंग हिम मेकिंग हर सिट ऑन हिज लैप इन पब्लिक राइट गतहरी ही एज इफ ही इज अशेम्ड प्राकृतो यथा एज इफ ही इज एन ऑर्डिनरी पर्सनैलिटी राइट सो दक्ष क्लियरली वॉन्टेड टू अफेंड लॉर्ड शिवा द काइंड ऑफ वर्ड्स दैट दक्ष वॉज यूजिंग इन द फोर्थ कैंटो सेकेंड चैप्टर वर क्वाइट ऑफेंसिव राइट आई हैव नो प्लान टू गिव माई डॉटर इन मैरिज टू दिस मंकी आईड रैस्कल बट माई फादर परमेष्टि दिस ब्रह्माजी सो ही पुश्ड मी ही फोर्स्ड मी इफ ही हैड नॉट रिकमेंडेड आई वुड नॉट हैव गिवन सो ही इज अनक्लीन ही इज वांडरिंग इन क्रेमेटोरियम एंड ही इज एसोसिएट्स आर घोस्ट्स इन हॉबगॉब्लिन्स ही इज लाइक नॉट सो कल्चर्ड नॉट सो वेल मैनर्ड दिस एंड दैट सो मेनी थिंग्स ही सेड All this was spoken out of great malice and envy and anger in his heart. But although here Chitraketu also apparently criticized Shiva in this way, he had only respect for Shiva. Shiva was the devotee of Lord Sankarshan, and Chitraketu is also devotee of Sankarshan. Both are devotees, right? So, and Shiva is a senior devotee. Vaishtamanam yatha shambhu. And Chitraketu only had great respect for Shiva. So, Daksha considered Shiva insignificant, but Chitraketu just merely expressed his wonder. How could he do like this? He is so great, so exalted, how could he behave like this? He just expressed wonder. There is no offense there, there is no, he didn't mean to criticize or blaspheme or look down upon Shiva. That was not in his intent at all. Okay. So, then he further says, Prayashah prakritas chapi striyam rahasi bibhrati ayam mahavrata dharo. Shiva is mahavrata dharo, extremely austere person. Right. So, how can bibhrasi sadasi striyam? How can he sit with his wife intimately in sadasi, in a great assembly? Like that. So, Chitraketu appreciated Shiva's exalted position in various ways, yet he pointed out the apparent contradictory behavior of Lord Shiva in public manner, quite loudly and repeatedly. So, that is actually not supposed to be done by Chitraketu. Because, although he didn't mean anything offensive, but the act was offensive. But Shiva could see his intention, and all the assembly members there, they also could see the intention of Chitraketu. Seeing his intention, which is very pure, very great, they didn't say anything. Shiva just smiled and kept quiet. And Shiva smiled and kept quiet, all the assembly members also smiled and kept quiet. Because if it were an offense to a Vaishnava aparad, then immediately they would have blocked their ears and then ran away from there. Right? Neither Shiva did it, nor any of the assembly members did it. Right? Because Chitraketu's purpose was to establish good conduct of Lord Shiva in public, in front of all common people. Because yadyada charati sreshtah tatta devetaro janah sayah pramanam kurute lokastadanu vartate. Whatever great men do, common men also follow. So if Shiva is sitting with his wife in public, so intimately making her sit on his lap and then embracing her, people will think that this is an acceptable public behavior, right? So Chitraketu's concern was that. Okay, and Shiva is not affected by it. Tejiyasam na doshaya. Great people are not affected by their apparent incompatibility with social behavior, right? Socially, it may not be an acceptable act in public, but they are beyond that. Okay, someone touches urine, he has to wash his hands or take a bath. But if Lord Surya Vivaswan, sun god, evaporates urine, he doesn't have to take bath. Right? He doesn't have to purify himself. So, teji yasam na doshaya. That point, Chitraketu also understands. Right? But the mistake that although he had a pure intent, the mistake that he has done was, he he publicly mentioned it, right? So although he was concerned that common people will offend Lord Shiva seeing this misbehavior, apparent misbehavior, he himself pointed it out, and then he himself was in one sense offensive, right? And this happened because there was a tinge of pride in Chitraketu. He got special affection of Lord Sankarshan, and Chitraketu became slightly proud that he felt himself qualified, or it's all right to give a feedback to Shiva also. So although one may see an apparent contradiction in a senior person's behavior, he tries to restrain himself from pointing it out, knowing that he is more exalted than me. So Prabhupada gives beautiful formula in the third canto, 12th chapter. When Brahmaji was running behind work, the sons of Marichi, they told, they were little critical about Lord Shiva, and then they had to fall down. But Marichi and the other sages, they respectfully told Brahmaji, my dear Brahma, it's not a appropriate behavior on your part, so kindly restrain yourself. And still it didn't work out. And they offered prayer to the Supreme Lord, and then Brahmaji restrained himself. And he's back to his creation. He created Vedas next and all. In that context, Prabhupada gives three beautiful formulas. How to see what should be our thought process, or what should be our disposition towards the mistakes of an exalted person. When an exalted person does a mistake, number one, one should not lose discrimination. Just because he is doing that mistake is bona fide. It's a bona fide behavior. One should not think in that way. Right? One should not lose discrimination. What is right and what is wrong? Like, one should have a right discrimination. Mistake should be seen as a mistake. One should not think that this is bona fide just because so and so person has done it. Second, one should not become disrespectful to the person who has done that mistake, considering his exalted position. Right? So it is a mistake, definitely. It's not proper to do like this. But who has done this? This, as an exalted person, has done this. So it's not my jurisdiction, it's not within my jurisdiction to correct him or point him out or criticize him. It's not within my jurisdiction. I should not disrespect him. Okay, he has done so many wonderful activities. Just because he has done this one small mistake, that doesn't minimize his glory. But if I point him out, I will be at fault, right? I will degrade myself like that. So number one, don't lose discrimination. Number two, don't disrespect the person. Okay. Number three, consider the personal lesson that is to be learnt from that mistake. If such an exalted person has become a victim of this misbehavior, quote unquote, what about me? Right? I'm not as exalted or as experienced as him. I could also become a victim of this mistake. So I need to be a little more careful. I need to conduct myself more carefully. I need to be more alert so that I should not be doing this kind of mistake. So these are the three points that Prabhupada gives in third canto, 12th chapter, right? Our disposition towards the mistake of an exalted person. Now, Chitraketu, in this case, what Shiva has done is quite natural to his position. That's what he's mentioned in this fourth canto, fourth chapter, 26th verse also. But Chitraketu became unnecessarily concerned about this, right? Which is valid in one sense, but point is, he mentioned it publicly, repeatedly, and that angered angered Parvati, right? So Shiva understood the intention of Chitraketu, and then he kept quiet. Because Chitraketu never meant to insult Shiva, but he should not have criticized like that. Okay, so Chitraketu, because he attained favor from Lord Sankarsana, he's a great devotee of Vishnu or Sankarsana, he was somewhat proud, slightly proud. So when we take pride in our own accomplishments, sometimes we don't even hesitate to point out the mistake of another exalted person. Because maybe kuch hoon, I am also something. When that identification comes, the hesitation to point out someone's mistake will go away, especially towards seniors, right? So, like, I also have accomplished certain till this point, so I can easily point out, right? So, Daksha also was very proud of his exalted position. So, he immediately pointed out, Lord Shiva, he has accepted me as his father-in-law, so I am superior to him, he is inferior to me, he should respect me, and he did not respect. What's happening? Right? He started expecting something from for himself, right? So expecting respect like that. So Chitraketu was not at all like that. His disposition was not like that. So there is a slight tinge of pride because of which he has just mentioned like that. So Prabhupada writes, a Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. Here, Sukadeva Goswami uses a word, Nirjita Atma Abhimanine. Means Chitraketu felt that I am a better controller of senses than Shiva. Just slightly, maybe for a moment or whatever. It's not his default disposition, but just slightly he, somewhere in the corner deep within, he was there some kind of thought like that. Okay, Acharya has pointed out. So then, now the main theme. Parvati got offended. So Parvati immediately said, Shiva was silent and all the assembly members were silent and Chitraketu only spoke and then he kept quiet. Then Sati started speaking. Who is this person? Right? Is he the appointed ruler who is authorized to punish and chastise like misbehaving people like us? Right? Shameless people like us? Is he considering us very shameless and he is considering himself the chastiser? Right? The in charge? As a person who is supposed to discipline people like us, right? She immediately said it. Now basically, when she questioned like this, that means that he's not authorized, right? He's not supposed to do that. But still, he did it. So Parvati was offended, right? So he made himself superior. Then she said, Brahmaji looks like he has forgotten dharma. Bhrugu forgotten dharma. Naradamuni also has forgotten dharma. Four Kumaras also didn't know what is dharma. Manu has forgotten dharma. Kapila has forgotten dharma. Only this fellow knows dharma. Only this person thinks that he knows dharma. Because point is, all these people, four Kumaras, then Bhrugu, Narada, and all these great exalted personalities did not point out Shiva's behavior. They were silent. When such great people are silent, how can one person point out? Who is quite younger to them or junior to them, right? That was her point. Basically, he is thinking himself the knower of dharma, while many other knowers of dharma were keeping quiet. When so many exalted people are not pointing out something, how can a younger person come and just point out? He's like, although he didn't mean to do it, but indirectly he surpassed their position, right? Indirectly he presented himself a better knower of things like that. So, that did not appeal to Mother Parvati. Now, in Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna was given the exalted seat, Agra Puja. So, everyone accepted this. Yes, of course, Krishna should get Agra Puja. So, Bhishma was there. So many exalted personalities were there. Demigods were also there in that assembly. So everyone unanimously agreed to this point, but there is one person who objected it, Shishupal. So when so many exalted people are just accepting this, whatever way it is happening, how can one small kid come and point out? So Shishupal was punished like that. So although Chitraketu's intentions were pure, he's also an exalted devotee, but the expression was not very pleasant. So that made Parvati very furious. Then Parvati said, Chitraketu impudently surpassed the demigods and insulted exalted Lord Shiva. When so many demigods did not say anything and he is pointing out, so he must be punished. Right? So why she says like that?
दिस चित्रकेतु इज पफ्ड अप ऑफ हिज ओन अकम्प्लिशमेंट्स, हिज ओन अचीवमेंट्स, जस्ट दैट ही अचीव्ड द फेवर ऑफ संकर्षण विद इन लेस टाइम एंड ही इज कंसिडरिंग हिमसेल्फ सो ग्रेट. सो ही थिंक्स हिमसेल्फ इम्पॉर्टेंट. सो दोज पीपल हु आर सो प्राउड, दोज पीपल हु आर कंसिडरिंग देमसेल्फ सो इम्पॉर्टेंट एंड ग्रेट एंड लुकिंग डाउन अपन अदर एक्सॉल्टेड पीपल, दे डोंट डिजर्व द शेल्टर ऑफ द लोटस फीट ऑफ विष्णु. So Chitraketu doesn't deserve the shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu. So she says like that. So pride makes one unfit for shelter. That's what Sati is indirectly saying, right? So the qualification for shelter is humility, not pride. The disqualification for shelter is humility, is pride. So he seems to be proud, so he doesn't deserve shelter. Then she says, my dear son, become a demon. So she said, my dear son. Then she said, become a demon. So, because we are misbehaving in front of a father-like personality, exalted Vaishnava, I am punishing you to become a asura, to become a demon. But I consider you my son. Because mother, when the child misbehaves, mother will punish the child. That doesn't mean mother is envious of the child. That doesn't mean mother hates the child or inimical towards the child. So mother loves the child, and that love manifests sometimes as a hug, and that love manifests sometimes as punishment, chastisement, right? So Prabhupada writes that to surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotees also, for no one can be proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of a devotee. So one may be proper servant of Krishna, one may be exalted devotee of Krishna, but if he doesn't have service attitude or respect towards another Vaishnava, especially exalted senior, superior Vaishnavas like that, so it's not very pleasant, it's not very correct. So that's what has happened. Parvati was offended when her husband Shiva was disrespected like this. So the punishment towards Chitraketu was actually a boon towards him. We need to see the pastime from two perspectives. One, see the behavior of the characters in the pastime and learn what to do and what not to do from their behavior, as acharyas have explained to us. Number two is understand why that pastime is enacted. What is the purpose or the deeper purpose behind that pastime, right? So understand that from a divine perspective, and understand this also from a devotee or a human perspective also. So from one angle we see Chitraketu's behavior, which is not very pleasant, which is not approved by Parvati. So we should not be pointing out senior people. That's, one has to be extremely careful while dealing with exalted Vaishnavas. So that's the lesson. But from another angle, this whole pastime is enacted for the purpose of bringing Chitraketu back to Godhead. Right? So acharyas point out that divine perspective also. So Chitraketu was an exalted devotee of Lord Sankarshan, and actually Sankarshan was missing Chitraketu, right? When will this devotee, exalted devotee, come back to me, right? When will he come to Vaikuntha and serve me directly? Why is he just caught up in this Vidyadhara planet ruling and all this, right? So he should come back to me immediately. So he orchestrated this incident. So Chitraketu came there where Shiva and Parvati were sitting, and all the great sages were there. So whatever little bit of quote-unquote, more or less impurity kind of thing, contamination, whatever little bit purification he needs to undergo, that has been arranged by the Supreme Lord through the curse of Parvati. And he was purified of that, and just within one lifetime. So this Chitraketu became Vritrasur. Within one lifetime, Chitraketu was taken back to Godhead. Right? So Krishna has a divine purpose. So the mistakes of exalted souls, such great devotees like Chitraketu or whatever, so they need to be seen from these two perspectives. So they don't, even their mistakes also give us a message, give us an important message like that. So now, we need to understand from Chitraketu's disposition also. Chitraketu, after he was cursed by Mother Parvati, he got down from his airplane. So far he was an airplane. From the airplane he is giving feedback. So then he got down from the airplane, came in front of Mother Parvati and pleased her completely, appeased her. You know why he appeased? Not to be relieved from the curse, right? He appeased Mother Parvati not to be relieved from the curse, but he noticed that this great Vaishnavi, Mother Parvati, she was offended because of me, because of my words. Although I didn't mean anything offensive, I didn't mean to disrespect Lord Shiva, I caused pain to her heart. So I should apologize for that. So he got down. It's a very important point here. As soon as Chitraketu came down, he didn't get into the rest of the discussion. Oh, I didn't mean like this, he didn't say like that. First thing he said is, Pratigrihanami te shapam. My dear mother, I accept the curse that you have given me. Pratigrihanami te shapam atmano anjilina ambike. Oh, my mother, Anjalina, with folded hands, I receive your curse. I will become a demon soon, as per the words that you have uttered. So, Devir Martyayat Proktam Purvadishtam Hi Tasyatat. So, whatever pleasant or unpleasant experiences that we get in life are a results of our own past deeds. So, the demigods, the great demigods, they arrange for certain reactions or experiences for us depending on what we have done earlier. So, this suffering is a process of purification. Okay. So Lord Sankarsana, by enacting this pastime, the Supreme Lord, he tried to announce the glories of Chitraketu. So, Chitraketu definitely gave a feedback to Shiva, which is not very pleasant. However, after he was cursed, he did not justify. Do you know my intention? Do you know why I said like this? I said for your purpose only. People will misunderstand you if you behave like this. So he didn't get into all that. Right? He just accepted the curse. And Acharya explained, although Chitraketu had the power to counter curse, not Acharya, even Lord Shiva himself says, although Chitraketu, if he wished, he could have counter cursed also, but he did not do that. All that cursing and counter cursing happened in this Daksha episode. So Nandi got inspired, Bhrigu got inspired, then Daksha was cursing and all that happened here. But here it's a more pleasant and sober incident. Right? So Chitraketu's acceptance of the will of God, acceptance of the punishment of Mother Parvati, so that showed how glorious he is, how exalted he is. So devotee considers curses, blessings, swarga, naraka, liberation, hell, all this in a equanimity, in an equal disposition. So to announce the equal disposition of Chitraketu, Lord Sankarsana has enacted this incident. That's one purpose. Second, to remove the improper life of Chitraketu as the king of Vidyadhara planet. So you are such a pure devotee, why should you be just hanging around in Vidyadhara planet? So you should come back to Vaikuntha planet, right? And to increase Chitraketu's hunger for prema. Now you see, Chitraketu was cursed to become a demon. Although he became a demon, who is considered lesser than an exalted king like Chitraketu in terms of species, but his love for Krishna is more in the form of Vritrasura than in the form of Chitraketu. So there was only spiritual advancement. His love increased. So Chitraketu, Vritrasura was more spiritually advanced than Chitraketu. Similarly, when Bharat Maharaj became a deer for his undue attachment to deer, so Lord gave him that kind of quote-unquote punishment. So deer Bharat is more spiritually advanced than King Bharat. And Jada Bharat was more spiritually advanced than Deer Bharat. So his progress towards the lotus feet of Krishna is unobstructed. Externally, the species are changing, the bodies are changing. Externally, from the body of a king of Vidyasara planet, Chitraketu received the body of a demon. But internally, his love for Krishna increased. So, although the Lord arranges sometimes some unpleasant circumstances in the life of a devotee, the consciousness of a devotee will be more intensified to love Krishna only, right? So that at heart level, the Lord protects the devotion, right? Externally, some things may change. So that's why devotee is not so perturbed or anxious or agitated when certain reversals come in life. So Prabhupada elaborates a lot in several episodes like this. So to increase Chitraketu's hunger of separation from the Lord, prema from the Lord, for the Lord. So Lord has arranged this curse in the life of Chitraketu. So Chitraketu, when he became Vritrasur, on the battlefield, he was instructing Indra and he was presenting how he was longing to go back to Sankarshan. Aham harer tava padeka mula dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya. In those four exalted prayers that Vritrasur speaks on the battlefield, right? It's not so natural for a demon who is predominantly in passion and ignorance to offer such exalted, pure devotional prayers on the battlefield. It's quite unnatural. That shows Chitraketu's hunger for attaining the mercy of the Lord increased. Although Parvati said that such proud people do not deserve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, but he's not actually proud. So there was a slight tinge of pride that was purified by the exhibition of this pastime, like that. So we cannot minimize the position of Chitraketu. So then he said, Chitraketu told Parvati, Guna pravaha etasmin kashyapaha konvanugraha kasvargaha narakah kova kimsukham dukhamevava. Guna pravaha etasmin, this whatever is happening in this world is a pravaha of gunas. It's like the flow of material modes. So when it is flow, no volume of water stays at one point, one geographical location for more than a moment. The water is flowing. You just focus on water at one point and then the water doesn't stay there. It just moves ahead. And on the surface of water, sometimes the water, the ripple or wave just will go up and it will immediately go down. So whether it is happiness or distress, it doesn't stay high forever or stay low forever. It keeps on changing, right? We may get happiness, but we need not get happiness perpetually, constantly, all the while. We may get distress. We will not be in distressful situation throughout the life, right? It keeps on going. We may get happiness today. Tomorrow, someone else will get the happiness for the same reason, right? So, guna pravaha etasmin. So, when whatever is happening in this world is just a pravaha of gunas, material modes, kashyapaha, konvanugraha, what is a curse, what is a blessing, what is hell, what is heaven, what is happiness, what is distress, all these external dualities will not have any permanent effect in this material world, right? So, he got this realization, right? He presented this realization very well. Now, there are many other aspects that he, Chitraketu, tries to mention to Parvati. But one prominent thing that is quite relevant for this discussion here is, Chitraketu came down to beg forgiveness from Mother Parvati, not to be relieved from the curse, not to be excused from the suffering that she ordained on him. But because she was hurt. On the other hand, in the first canto, we see that Parikshit Maharaj, he never bothered to go and say sorry to Shamikrishi. Parikshit Maharaj kept a dead snake on Shamikrishi and he realized that it was a mistake, right? So while going back to his kingdom, Parikshit Maharaj was contemplating. After he went back to his kingdom, he thought that how could I behave so disrespectfully towards a Brahmana? Brahmana is so exalted. When he was absorbed in his trance, he was meditating on the Supreme Lord. It's my mistake to go and ask him water. Right? You ask water from someone who is little free, not who is doing this meditation. he was in trance, he did not even realize or notice my request. But I kept a dead snake around his neck, and it was such an abominable behavior. It was really like abominable on my part. So he expected a calamity for his misbehavior, and he desired a calamity. I desire punishment. I want punishment. I want to be punished for this mistake, because if I am not punished, then I will be encouraged to do such mistakes again and again. And if I am not punished, my descendants or my followers may be affected by that. So I desire punishment. So as per his expectation or desire, whatever, Shamikrishi's disciple Gauramukha comes to Parikshit Maharaj and informs him, you have been cursed to die in 7 days. You can make proper arrangements as per your need. Then, although Parikshit Maharaj was so regretful and repentant about his mistake, he never went to Shamikrishi and then begged forgiveness. I'm sorry, he didn't say that. Why? Because the way the news of this curse was communicated to Chitraketu, communicated to Parikshit Maharaj, was filled with regret. Not only that Parikshit Maharaj was regretting for his misbehavior, Shamikrishi was also regretting that Parikshit Maharaj, innocent Parikshit, was cursed to die in 7 days. So he is so innocent. How could he be cursed? And because this Rishi, this Shamikrishi, is already so embarrassed for cursing Chitraketu, cursing Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj did not want to increase the embarrassment further. If I say sorry now, he will be more embarrassed, so I will not say sorry. On the other hand, Chitraketu begged forgiveness from Mother Parvati. He said sorry. So Chitraketu was cursed. Parikshit was cursed. So Parikshit was cursed and he didn't say sorry. And Chitraketu was cursed, he said sorry. You know what he told Parvati? He said, my dear mother, I did not mean anything wrong. When a chaste wife hears the blasphemy of her husband, she will definitely feel hurt. Right? When her husband is disrespected, the chaste wife cannot tolerate it. So Chitraketu went and clarified to Mother Parvati that, my dear mother, I did not mean to disrespect your husband in public. I did not have any disrespectful attitude or offensive attitude towards your husband. So please be rest assured that I only have respect for him. I worship him, right? He is like my master. So he clarified that he did not have any disrespectful intent and pacified her, right? So, I didn't mean anything wrong, but whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong and may I be forgiven for it. So, at my heart, I didn't feel anything negative or disrespectful, but in my expression, you found something disrespectful. Yeah, I agree that it may be wrong, so please forgive me for that. Right? Whatever was unpleasant to you, whatever you felt that is not supposed to be done from my side, right, whatever is causing that hurt to you, right, I accept the guilt of it and I seek forgiveness for it. You see, now on one side, Parikshit Maharaj did not beg forgiveness from Shamikrishi because Shamikrishi himself was embarrassed. Parikshit Maharaj did not want to further embarrass Shamikrishi. On the other hand, Chitraketu noticed that Parvati was hurt, so he felt that it's my responsibility to pacify her, console her, and reassure her that I didn't mean to do anything, I didn't mean to disrespect her husband. So in both cases, either Parikshit Maharaj or Chitraketu Maharaj, they both did not consider that a lot of injustice has been done to us. They did not consider in that lines. They were only thinking about the emotions of other devotee. Parikshit Maharaj was thinking about the emotion of Shamikrishi. Oh, he is embarrassed. How can I further embarrass him? And Chitraketu was thinking about the emotion of Sati. Oh, Parvati. Oh, Parvati was hurt. I should go and pacify her, console her. Right? So, although they were cursed, they were affected to become demon or to die within 7 days, the nature of an exalted Vaishnava is that although he himself is in pain, he thinks about the pain of other person, he empathizes with the other person, he goes and pacifies. Such an extent a devotee is broad-minded and detached. They did not feel that. Chitraketu did not go in front of all these people. Shiva was there, standing right there. And so many people were around, Narada Muni, Bhruga, whatever, so many sages were there. He did not try to gather some sympathy from all these parties and see this Parvati is unnecessarily cursing me, see I am so innocent, I just gave one feedback, at least you can relax the punishment. He was not trying to gather people on his side and gather more votes. What is that? That people circulate, right? Circulate, you vote for this, we will get more support. What is that circulation? Petition. He did not petition. Online petition. So he just accepted the curse, right? So there is no, he is not overwhelmed with self-sympathy. Oh, so much of injustice has been done to me. Not like that. He was overwhelmed that, oh, Mother Parvati was unnecessarily, was offended. How can I hurt her? She was hurt. So let me go and pacify her. Like that. So, like, connection from this. Parvati was offended. Sati was offended when her husband was disrespected in this episode, Daksha episode. And she was offended when Chitraketu also disrespected Shiva, although he didn't mean to disrespect. So that's the nature of a chaste wife, not to tolerate the disrespect or offense done to her husband. So connecting to these things, two pastimes happened. Right, in these pastimes we learned a lot of insights and lessons. And later Shiva clarified to Parvati that, no, my dear Parvati, you are so beautiful, but the beauty of devotees is greater than your beauty. See, Chitraketu is so exalted. He did not feel bad that you cursed him. And he called you mother also. And by the way, we both are devotees of Lord Sankarshan. We have some rasa, right? He tells that I am enjoying with my wife. I tell him that he is enjoying with Vidyadhara woman. So we just crack jokes like that. So you should not take it so seriously. Then Parvati felt a little bad. And it had a pleasant ending with the glorification of devotee and the Supreme Lord. Okay, thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.